Psalm 1 is where we're at tonight, Psalm 1. Last week we began to look at how the Lord measures success. In other words, what it takes to be blessed and prosperous or successful in the Lord's eyes. That's really what Psalm 1 is talking about, being blessed, being prosperous. So that's quite different from the world's measure of success. When we did the intro to this chapter, we talked about the world's measure of success, and the Lord's measure of success is a lot different. And that's, we're looking at what the Lord has to say. Last week, we saw in the first part of verse 1 that the blessed man doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but rather he walks in the counsel of God's word. There in verse number 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And the implication is that's where he gets his walking orders from. He walks according to the counsel of God's word. In the Hebrew mind, walking is a picture of living life. You know, we talk about our walk of life. We talk about that in our day and time even. Our walk is our life, and the nature of our walk is determined by the standards which govern our life. And those standards come from the counsel that we receive or take heed to. Now, that can come from different sources. I had parents that were quick to counsel me. But it was mostly godly counsel because they had a godly background. I thank God for that. Grandparents, friends, teachers, preachers. Not every counselor is what they ought to be. Okay, if they're not counseling you according to God's counsel, according to God's standards, then they're falling short of that. But what I'm saying is that our walk is determined by the standards that we have received from the time of our birth till right now. Amen. It's accumulation of things that we've learned how to walk. Our counsel as born-again children of God is to come from the Lord, though, and those that love Him, not from ungodly sinners in the world who are controlled by Satan. Understand, too, that the word ungodly there, when he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That word ungodly is translated from a Hebrew word whose root idea means to be loose or unstable. To be loose or unstable. And this word carries two ideas. First, it means to be loose with one's morals. We see a lot of that in the world today, don't we? And it also means to be loose from the Lord without Him as an anchor or controlling device. It refers to those who are controlled by their own desires, by their flesh, by their emotions, rather than by the Word and the Holy Spirit. And we're to avoid counsel that from those that do not have the Lord as an anchor in their life. We sing the song, and it's a good song, in the Red Book, with number 161, We Have an Anchor. That's a good song. That's what it's talking about, the Lord being our anchor in our lives. James, the half-brother of our Savior, speaks to the nature of worldly wisdom in James chapter number 3. Being as we got time, I'm going to have you turn over there. We'll take a look at it. I was going to, for the sake of time, to just quote a lot of these, and I went ahead and made you a handout, but it come to find out we didn't get any in the mail or in email, no missionary letters, so I wound up with extra time tonight to be able to bring you the Bible study. And James chapter number 3, James speaks to the nature of worldly wisdom here, and James 3 and verse number, let's look at verse number 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. And notice verse 15. This wisdom, okay, where the bitter envying and strife come from, this wisdom descendeth not from above. In other words, it's not from God, but it's earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above, that's God's wisdom, amen, which set our affection on things above, according to Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 1. And we set on our sights on Him, set our affection on Him, we're going to be seeking His wisdom. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So we saw, as we looked at the first part of verse number 1, we saw the importance of right counsel. We saw the warnings against wrong counsel. And we saw the right kind of counsel described. And we said that the source of right counsel is the Lord's Word and those who are immersed in His Word. You know, we need to seek spiritual friendships, spiritual companions, amen, to make sure that we're receiving the right counsel from those that are closest to us. Now, the Bible has a lot to say on how we should walk as believers. I'm going to have you turn to another place, Colossians chapter number 3 for just a minute. Excuse me, Colossians 2. Colossians 2. And I got several verses here that I want us to see. Verse number 6, 7, and 8. They're familiar to you. The Bible has a lot to say about how we should walk as believers. In fact, it really makes a great study. If you go through and look at how we should walk, that's a good study to have. Look at verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. And if you've been with us any length of time in the past 13 and a half years we've been here, you've heard me say, how do we receive the Lord Jesus Christ? By grace through faith. Well, how are we to walk in Him? It's by grace through faith. That's what that verse says. As you have received Him, and you received Him by grace through faith, so walk ye in Him. And then it expands it and says in verse 7, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That's that godly wisdom there that he's talking about in verse 7, we're to be rooted and built up in. And verse number 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So again, we see the contrast here of the right kind of wisdom, godly wisdom, versus the worldly wisdom that we should not have. We should pray asking the Lord to show us how we should walk. Psalm 143, verse number 8 says this. It says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. We should determine to walk in the Lord's truth. Amen. Psalm 86, verse 11 says, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. And we know that the New Testament tells us in Galatians 5:16 that we're to walk in the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit. We're indwelt by the Spirit from the moment we get saved. But He needs to have all of us. We have all of Him. He's there, but we need to give Him access to every part of our life, and thereby we walk in the Spirit. Walk in His guidance. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, Galatians 5:16 says. Now, it's not easy to walk according to Scripture. It takes commitment. You got to determine, I am going to do this. I'm going to do it. It takes discipline. You know, you can't let up. And it takes determination. Now tonight, we see that not only is the blessed man identified by the source of the counsel he receives, but in the second part of verse number 1, which is where we're gonna take a look at tonight, we see his path. We see his path. It says, "Nor standeth in the way of sinners." What does that mean? "Nor standeth in the way of sinners." Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. I want us to break this down tonight, because that's what Bible study is. Amen. He's breaking it down and figuring out what exactly is it talking about. Well, let's consider, we're going to consider it from the end of the verse back, okay? But sinners. And we're going to look at the sinners, and we're going to look at way, and we're going to look at standeth. All right? So let's consider the word sinners for a moment. The Hebrew word translated as sinners is actually an archery term. You know, a bullseye. Picture a bullseye in your mind. And you got an archer shooting at the bullseye, and his arrow falls short, or his arrow misses the mark. That's what the Hebrew word means, to miss the mark, to fall short or miss the mark. The mark is, of course, the righteousness of God. It's the righteousness of Jesus' righteousness. None of us measured up. That's why Jesus had to come. He had the righteousness of God. The mark is the will of God. It's God's law. Jesus totally fulfilled God's law. We know that sin is the transgression of God's law. And we all know that we are sinners. We have missed the mark. And that is why Christ had to die for our sins, so that we might have his righteousness. But the word sinners here also indicates habitual sinning. Habitual sinners who deliberately and consistently choose a way of life or a path that is contrary to God. It's a consistent thing. It's a persistent thing. They persist in ungodliness. Now let's consider the word way. Okay? Consider the word way. This too points to a path that is habitual. A path that has been tread down. In fact, the way means a tread down path is what it means. Okay? I grew up on a small farm, and I think I've used this illustration before, but we had cows. And you could see that the cows had favorite places to walk. They would walk in a row to the feeding trough and walk in a row to the watering spot, wherever you were watering them at. It was they were habitually taking the same path. It was a well-worn path. You know what I'm talking about, right? Though we all still fall short of God's will, we who are saved are to no longer practice sin. If you practice sin, you got a well-worn path to the wrong place, back and forth to the wrong place. We have been made righteous by the blood of the Lamb, and so therefore we seek to walk in the one who is the way for us. Amen. Our way is Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is the way. And that is the path that we're supposed to have. We're not to walk in the old tread down ways of sin that lost sinners do. So the blessed man is the one who is saved and therefore chooses to direct his new life by God's will, not by the old ways that he used to walk. We all used to have those old paths we walked in before we got saved. We're no longer to walk those well-worn paths. Those that are still in sin walk those. We are to walk a new path, a new way, Christ's way. Now let's consider the word standeth. And as we look at the word standeth, let's consider physically standing for just a minute. I am physically standing right now. When we are physically standing somewhere, we are hanging out or hanging around, right? And they have a lot of signs around anymore that said, "No loitering on the premises." What are they meaning by that? They don't want you standing around, just standing around.
We could say that we are somewhat identifying with where we are when we're standing. Where we choose to be physically could be construed by others that we are at least somewhat in agreement with those who normally are in such a place. Can we agree with that? I'm physically right now standing behind the pulpit of this independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church, and I'm okay with all that means, okay? There are some folks that would not be okay to stand behind here. And they say, oh no, I don't want to be associated with that. But understand that there are places in this world that I would not physically go hang out or identify with because of my position of being in Christ, of being a child of God. Think about the places where sinners stand. We're talking about the paths or the way they frequent or walk in, where they hang out. As one of the Lord's own, I should make sure that the way or path of sinners is not the one that I am either fond of or found in. Amen. We're not to be fond of it and we're not to be found in it. Now, this is personal. I'm giving you some personal illustrations tonight. And you say, well, I don't know that I've always done that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying this is what the Lord has done in my life. I personally, if I'm driving down the road and I've got to turn around, I refuse to knowingly turn around in the parking lot of a liquor store. You know why I do that? Because invariably somebody's going to see me pulling out of the liquor store, and they had no idea that I'm just turning around. Okay. Some places are associated with things that are contrary to the nature of Christ and my being a Christian, and I don't want there to be any possibility that I'm attached to that. Does that make sense to you? There have been times when I walked into a situation that the spirit of it was all wrong. I'm talking about, you know, we walked in there, and immediately you knew, I don't need to be here, and you turn around and you walk out. I didn't want to be associated with something that was contrary to Christ. Okay, so we're talking about physically standing. Now let's consider standing in agreement or support, because both ideas are in that word, with that idea of standeth. So let's consider standing in agreement or support. When we are standing in the way, it also means that we are okay with, or at least somewhat in agreement with, where we are. There are professing believers who stand in agreement with some very ungodly sinners and the ways that they have in our day and time. There are other professing believers who try to take a neutral position when it comes to some ungodly ways. Let me say that neither of these is a path of blessing for a believer. They're not a path of blessing. The blessed man stands against sinful ways of sinful men. He avoids walking in the same paths as they do, and his attitude is, their way shall not be my way. Okay? Their way shall not be my way. If he happens to find himself in their way, he will not continue in their way. You know, you get in there and you find out, hey, this ain't what I thought it was. I'm not supposed to be about this. You get out of it as quickly as possible. Let's take a look at two passages of Scripture related to this. Look at Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. One Old Testament, one New Testament. Proverbs 4 and verse number 14 and 15 here. It says here, enter not into the path of the wicked. That's that well-worn path, okay? Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away. You think he's giving a little emphasis there? Yeah. So maybe I wasn't clear enough. He's like, you need to avoid that. You need not pass by it. You need to turn from it. You need to pass away from it. He is really being forceful in what he's the idea that he's putting across there. Look at verse 17. Let's go ahead and read verse 17 for a minute. I know. Well, let's read on down verse 16 and 17. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence, but the path of the just, that's us, okay, those of us that are saved, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. Okay? So, there's a big contrast here between the path of the wicked and the path of those that are blessed. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. And we're going to focus on verse 11, but we're going to read some other verses, being as we're going to turn over there, okay? We'll take a look at a little bit more. You're still going to get out of here in plenty of time. Man, we're still going to get out early. Ephesians chapter number 5, and I want you to notice, let's notice verse number 1 first. Verse number 1. Here's the path that we are to follow. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. I mean, we're God's children. Those of us who are saved, we're God's children, and we're His dear children. He really loves us, and He wants what's best for us. And so we ought to stick as close as we can and follow Him in every way. Verse 2, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You know, that'll keep you out of a lot of wrong paths if you walk in love. That's right. There's some things you just can't do if you really love folks. I mean, you're just not going to do it. Verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, what are those? Well, those are the paths of the wicked. So he said, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. In other words, we're not to even get close. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. You know, what's coming out of our mouths? You know, we need to pay attention to what's coming out of our mouths. What are people hearing? Are they hearing the right kind of path flowing out from us? Look, verse 5, For this ye know that no whoremonger, that's one of those ungodly, nor unclean person, there's another one, nor covetous man, nor who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Okay, they don't have what we have. Said verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. That word partakers means a co-participant. Don't be a co-participant with them. Verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness when you were lost, okay? But now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You know, we ought to be proving out the will of God in our lives. That's really what Romans 12 verse 2 talks about. Romans 12 verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You prove out in your living, hey,
This is the way to blessing. This is the way to blessing. With blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Okay? He's walking in God's word. We're proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And the verse 11 is really what we wanted to see here. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I mean, it's supposed to be dark or light. Amen. There's no gray area. It's either dark or light. And if it's gray, just assume it's dark. Right? We're to assume it's dark. If we can't, you know, if it's not light, then it ain't right. If it ain't light, it's not right. Matthew Henry, the commentator from a long time ago, put it this way. He said, "He that would be kept from harm must keep out of harm's way." He that would be kept from harm must keep out of harm's way. Now, let's consider where we are to stand as believers, as children of God, as children of light. Well, we know that we're to stand in the fear of the Lord, right? Psalm 33, verse 8, "Let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." Well, we know that the ungodly are not going to do that, but they should. But we that love the Lord, we especially ought to fear God. Because Hebrews 4:13 says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." God's eyes on where you go. God's eyes are on what you're doing. And we need to understand that. So we need to stand in the fear of the Lord. We are to stand firm in the faith. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 and 14 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men." In other words, act like a man. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. And that's love. Again, the love comes back into the deal. If you got an attitude of love, there's a lot of things you won't be found doing. Third thing here, we're to stand together in one mind and spirit. Philippians 1:27. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit and in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." That's the way a church ought to be. One mind, one spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We are to live and stand in the new life that we have in Christ. We just read about that over in Ephesians. And the first couple of verses there, Ephesians 5. But look, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Romans 6:4. "That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." When you're in newness of life, that forbids those old pathways of sin, that well-worn path where when we were in it, we were walking it. And those that are still in sin, they're walking it. And we're no longer there. We're walking in newness of life. We need to walk in that newness of life. Look at Ephesians 4. You're there in Ephesians 5. Let's flip back to Ephesians 4 and look at verse 22. "God's desire is that we put off the old man and put on the new man." Amen. Verse 22. Well, let's back up to verse number 17. Because to give the context here, he says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." He's talking about the lost Gentiles. "In the vanity of their mind." That word vanity there means depravity. Their minds are depraved. They're walking depraved in a depraved way. And what does it lead to? Nothing good.
Look at verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over, they've given themselves over, what does that sound like? A well-worn path, right? Give themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, that old behavior, okay, is what he's talking about there, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, where does the renewing of the spirit of our mind come from? It comes from the Word of God. That's how you renew your spirit, how you renew your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Again, it talks about here about the new man. We are to live and stand in the new life that we have in Christ. And he talks about things we ought to put off here. There in verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. But to him that stole, steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. What are those things? Well, those are some of those well-worn paths that we walked in before. Put all that away with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. Well, that's our Bible study for this evening. And next week we'll take a look at the third thing there that in Psalm 1 and in verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. What is it talking about? Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We'll take a look at that and examine that. And all of this is in contrast to, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Okay? His delight is on, the Word of God says we ought not walk that way, so we don't walk that way. My delight's in the Word. I want to do what the Word says because it's the right thing to do. All right. Let's pull out our prayer list. We'll pray for the needs, and we'll be dismissed with this prayer.